So, Santosh did two sessions on faith. I'll do two sessions on hope. We're talking about what we're going to take with us. And if you've understood Santosh correctly, at the core of what faith is, it's a dependence and a full confidence on God. It's a leaning back. It's a surrender. It's a surrender to God to let Him do the work, not us try and force something to happen. And progress may seem slower that way, because in a way we don't seem to be going as fast as we could when we're gritting our teeth. But it is the only sure way that pleases God, Hebrews 11:6. And it's the way in which we give God the glory, because that's what we all can be convinced we believe in. So it's one of those things, when we walk by faith, things may go slower than we think they ought to go. But we can be sure we're going forward, because we are going in surrender to God. We are not going to get rewarded on the final day for the things that we do. We're going to get rewarded for what we're able to give up and allow God to do through us. So we must keep that so much in our focus, that faith is not something that I have to grit my teeth and I've got to have more faith. I've got to have more dependence on God. So when the disciple, whenever you read the Bible, I've tried to do this. Whenever you read the Bible and you read the word faith, substitute it with dependence on God. When the disciples say, increase our faith, I say, increase my dependence on you, God. And I know what the problem is. It's me. I'm the problem. I sit in the way and I say, no, I can do it on my own. So God, increase my dependence on you. Get myself out of the way. That's faith. That's dependence on God. I wanted to talk about hope. What is hope? Hope is one of the words that we probably will have the toughest time defining. When I told you about if we were to write a letter, you'd probably write these words to somebody else. Most of us would probably write faith and love. We may not use hope as much. But hope, we have to understand what the Bible means when it uses the word hope, and how we can understand that. It's one of those words that we use very casually, but I want you to understand it in the context in which the Bible uses the word hope, and hopefully I can help you focus that way. And for this session, I want you to be extremely contemplative, in the sense that I want you to think about your own life. I'm not going to be giving you a whole lot. I'm going to give you some food for thought, but I really need you to grab a hold of this. It's something that is very simple for me to tell you, but it's something that is very difficult for you to grab a hold of. I cannot stress how important it is for you to do the work in this session and going forward. The thing that I'm going to describe here is so important for you to grab a hold of. It's not difficult for you to understand what I'm going to show you. What's difficult is for you to wrap your whole being around this and to redirect your life from this forth onwards in this direction. I'm convinced of it. It was easy for me to be convinced in my mind about it, but when I decided to be convinced in my whole part of my body towards it, it has made a big difference. So hope has made a huge difference in my life when I decided to pay the cost, so to speak. And you'll see what I mean by it. It's not complicated, but it's important that you do the work. So I'm going to go try and go slowly so that you think very carefully and deeply about the answer to the questions I pose to you. If you were to think carefully and honestly and deeply about the questions that I pose to you in the honesty and sincerity of your heart, and you allow God's word to inform you, I believe it could make a huge difference. Alright? This is the way I want to think about hope. I want you to think about what does the world ultimately hope for? When I say the world, I think I'm talking about the people in the world. I'm thinking about everybody who's famous in the world. So we were talking about what the world ultimately longs for. Some people long for fame. Some people long for money. Some people long for greatness. Some people long for power. Somebody like Hitler is a good example of somebody who longed for power and undiluted power, power, power to control the whole world. And we saw how he ended up. But this is true about every single person in the world. We all long and hope for something or some object, some person, something, some goal. And I have discovered that once I clearly identified the goal that I needed to live my life for, it helped everything else shape and fit into focus. The reason why some people become the greatest in their field, Sachin Tendulkar, for example, in being the best batsman, yes, he had a lot of talent and all that, but because he had to give up anything else that in any way compromised his ability to become the greatest cricketer. You see that in any sports person, you see that in any business person. They have such a single-minded focus towards their goal. And that goal is what drives them towards that. So my question to you is, most of us probably have not defined a goal for our lives. Most of us don't have a hope that has been set on the right place. Most of us have intermediate hopes that once they get satisfied are not sustainable. Let me give you an example of that. Some of us, a lot of us may hope that we get married. Okay, so you get married, then what? You ask any married person, just being married doesn't make you happy for the rest of your life. A lot of ways it makes it tougher to be happy. You have to work a little harder. Okay, after you get married, I want to have X number of kids, 5 kids. After you get 5 kids, do you think you'll be happy and that's it? That's all you've hoped for? No, you won't. Ask anybody who has 5 kids, or whatever their goal is. What about it to make a crore rupees or whatever it is? After you get that, you think they're happy? Ask anybody who's made a crore rupees. They're not happy. They're looking for the second crore. Everybody has that hope that even if you get that hope, you get for something else. So if I were to ask you, what's your hope? Some of you may say, I want to get my degree. Okay, I understand. I understand that hope. But that's not your overwhelming, overarching hope. Do you have an overarching hope that every day you're working towards that hope? Because one day you'll get that degree, one day you will get married, one day you will get that fancy job that maybe makes you all the money you want in the world. But then what? You're going to be asking the same question those other people who did that got. That's what the world is asking for. This is how I want you to define, to understand what hope is. And this is where I want to drive it in. This is a dictionary definition, but I want you to understand it's very simple. It uses maybe some big words, but it's really not that difficult. It's a compound emotion. It's basically saying it's a combination of two emotions. Alright, so whenever you think of hope, and I want you to think of this in the Christian sense as well. When I say we have a hope as Christians, there are two feelings that have to be, there are two values, two virtues, two emotions that have to be attached to it. So when we talk about what our hope is as a Christian, there should be two things that go along with it. There's a desire, there's a deep desire for that something. And there's an expectation of obtaining it. There's a belief and there's an expectation that I'm going to get there. It's not just a desire saying, I want this. That's the difference between just a desire. Hope is more than desire. Hope is the expectation that not only do I want it, but I am going to get there. Does that make sense? So whenever I say hope, I must couple those two emotions together. Not only is it a desire for something, it's the expectation that I'm going to get there. Okay? What does the world hope for? What does the whole world have a desire for and an expectation of receiving? Things like fame, things like power, things like money, things like fancy degrees. Do you want to write that down? If you want to, write it down. What does the world hope for? Write down some things. The reason why I ask you to write it down is because I want you to think that maybe you are stuck in what the world hopes for. Is it possible that something you hope for, that you think will make you happy, maybe if I get a job in the UK, I'll be happy. Maybe if I got a job in the United States, I'll be happy. Maybe if I get married, I'll be happy. Maybe if I get that extra child, I'll be then really happy. And that all my hopes will come true. Is it any different from what the world longs for too? Are you any different from the world in that sense? If you are, then you and the world are hoping for the same things. You and the world are longing for the same things. So I want to ask you, I don't know if you have ever thought about what your goal in life is. If you want to go to the moon, you must make a goal of wanting to go to the moon. You should really hope for it, which means you should have a desire and an expectation that you're going to get there. So you should start doing a lot of homework to get to the moon, which means you need to be an astronaut, which means you need to do all kinds of things to get to the moon. What do you ultimately hope for? Have you ever thought, maybe I should set a life goal, a life hope for? Have you ever thought that maybe from now on, I'll wake up every day and check my life against my life goal? Not my intermediary goal to get finished with college, not my intermediary goal to get married someday. My life goal, no matter if I get married or I don't get married, there's a life goal I have. Have you ever written down a life goal? If you're not, maybe today is the day. And that's what I'm going to call hope. That's what we are going to hope for. And I've got great news for you, because as a Christian, we've got a hope that will never fully be fulfilled until we get to heaven. But it will get fulfilled every day, every week, every month, every year, as we walk along this journey. I want to give you a hope and a goal that you can keep pressing towards. That if at any time, if you're lost, you can always come back to this. This is my hope. This is my long for. And ask yourself, are you getting closer to your goal? And I'm going to give you my hope and the goal that I can understand from Scripture. Not my own hope and goal that I made up. I'm going to give you the goal that I found in Scripture. If you find a better goal than that, please change mine and take yours. If your goal is not as good as the goal I'm going to point out, please take away yours and take this one. This is the best goal I could see from Scripture. If you find something better, please take that and not mine. I'm giving you the best I can understand of what I feel the Christian hope is. But I'm belaboring this point because I want you to understand where we may have gone astray in our Christian journey at the very outset. Because even in our Christian walk, we've never made it the goal of our life. Maybe the goal of our life is to have I heard one of the answers was to have a comfortable life. Maybe if you were to be completely honest with God, maybe when you're working through this with God, the truth may be that that is your goal too. You claim to be a Christian, you claim to have all these other things, but you really just want a decent life. What is a decent life? Wife, husband, or whatever, wife or husband, two kids, a nice dog or a cat will be nice, 3-bedroom house with 2 bathrooms, running water, hot water would be really nice off all the time. I could just have that. Maybe a maid servant to help me once a week. 3 or 4 children would be good. I'll have enough money saved up to send them to good schools. All my kids will be good looking and smart. And I'll retire by the age of maybe 60. I'll live to the age of 90. Ask yourself, really, was that my goal? It was for many years. I claimed I had all kinds of other goals. I really claimed that I had many of other goals. But this was my real goal. It's not a bad goal. But it was just what the world wanted. And I never understood that the Bible was telling me, There's a different goal you ought to have if you're a Christian. Some people get that too in this life too. They have their right goals and they get other things too. That's no problem with it. But life drastically and fundamentally changed when I set my goal onto something that I can still say I am looking at that. That often, many times a year, many times a week, I often ask myself, am I still on that path? Because that is what I decided was my goal. And I always find myself asking myself when new job opportunities come up, when new situations come up, I ask myself, is this goal going to be messed up with? So that's where I want you to start with. Maybe you should write down what you ultimately hope for as best as you can understand it right now. And I'll give you some time at the end to write about it. And I want to give you a little bit of a history perspective for you to understand the verses that I'm going to use in the Bible. What did the culture hope for? When I say culture, I mean the world. So we talked about the world today, like all the popular people in the world today and the famous people and what they hope for. What did the people of that time, in Jesus' time and Paul's time, hope for? If you know which was the dominant culture in that time, it was the Roman Empire. There was Julius Caesar who lived slightly before Jesus. And then there was Augustus Caesar. And then after that there was maybe another Caesar, whoever it was. And then there was Nero finally. So in that frame you've got the Roman Empire that ruled in that time. Now the Roman Empire was already the most powerful country in the world. But do you know what they hoped for? And if you read history, you'll realize that this was the thing that always drove the Roman Empire. It was glory. There's a movie where I watched it, where the guy was saying, why are we doing this? Why are we killing this other nation? And the general replies to the emperor saying, for the glory of the empire, sire. That's why we're doing this, because not for me to become general, superstar general, not for me to become emperor one day. No, for the glory of the empire, for the glory of the kingdom. This was what the people of that day, and I think of glory similar to fame, similar to be the most world famous, the most glorious thing ever. That's what the Roman Empire wanted to be, whose fame was spread abroad. That was the Roman Empire. This was what everybody in power in the Roman Empire was saying, this is what we hope for. This is what we long for. It was in this context, I'm trying to paint a picture of the world culture that Jesus was born into and that Paul was born into. It was a culture that was focused on trying to make the Roman Empire most glorious. That the empire might be full of glory. And here comes Jesus. And here comes Paul. And here comes the apostles. And they say, this is what they hope for. What are you going to hope for? What am I going to hope for? Can the two coexist? What did the Christians hope for in that day? If I learn what the Christians hope for in that day, they can be a witness to me and they can be an example to me of what I must hope for. So I want to make sure we all understand the path I'm taking you in. I've taken you back to the Roman Empire and 2,000 years ago where Jesus and John and Peter and Paul and all those guys worked and lived. And I said, back then, the culture was telling them, it's all about the glory of the Roman Empire. It's all the hope. We hope that the Roman Empire will be full of glory. This is what the apostles taught would be the response. What is the Christian's response today? What was the Christian's response back then? Let's look at what the Christian's response was back then. This is what Paul says to the Colossians in Colossians chapter 1 verse 27. Santosh talked about the mystery of faith. Here's another mystery. in a world that seems to see it so clearly that the Roman Empire is the one of the greatest glory, here comes this small man called Paul preaching this gospel. And he says, to whom? He's continuing a verse from the previous verses, but he's saying, to the Gentiles, God has willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. All the Gentiles just have no idea about this. It's a mystery to them what we Christians have as the riches of the glory. And this is what the riches of the glory is. This is what the Christians' hope of glory is. It's not the Roman Empire. It's not making $1 million. It's not being the best cricketer in the world. It is Christ in you. Christ in you is my hope. It's my goal. Did you wake up this morning and say, God, I want to review my life goal? Written in my front page of my Bible, my life goal is for Christ to be fully formed in me. How much money do you need to make to do that? Not a whole lot. How famous do you need to be to do that? Not a whole lot. How much power do you need to have? Not really anything. Who does it depend on for Christ to be formed in you? You. Do you need to be married for Christ to be formed in you? No. Do you need to have children for Christ to be formed in you? No. Is there any life situation that prevents you from having Christ formed in you? No. It's just you and Christ. When you make this your hope of glory, God, the Romans get their glory by conquesting, by making lots of conquests and overpowering people. The people of the world today get glory by making $1 billion or by getting married to the supermodels or whatever it may be, or making the most incredible enterprise. I am going to define that my hope of glory, the way I'm going to show myself as being fully glorious, is for Christ to be formed in me. That's my goal. So God, if you give me this job or you don't give me this job, it's okay. Joy is non-negotiable. Because all I want is for Christ to be formed in me, God. Today I just want Christ to be formed in me. And today it may be that you don't give me that job offer because that's the way you want Christ to be formed in me. Through patience. And then tomorrow maybe the point is for Christ to be formed in me because you gave me the job because you want me to be humble. Whether he gives you the job or he doesn't give you the job, the goal is the same. Christ, I want you to be formed in me, in all of your person, in all of your fruits, which is now his Holy Spirit. In all of his virtue and character and humility and graciousness and gentleness and authority and submission to the Father. All of those things. Where he never did his own will. That's to be formed in me. That's my hope of glory. That is my goal now. This is how I am going to be famous. This is my pathway to being famous. The hope of glory is the way I could redefine it as, this is my project plan to being famous. What famous? Famous in this earth? No. Famous in the kingdom of heaven. Christ to be formed in me. If you claim to be a Christian, there's a fundamental shift that needs to happen from what the world tells you is glory and what the Christian Bible tells you is glory. It's this fundamental shift is where maybe a lot of us have lost our way already. That we want to follow Jesus, but we've never made Christ in me my only hope of anything that's going to be glorious. How many of us want to be elders in our church? How many of us want to have the compliment from one of the elders in the church saying, that man really is wholehearted. I really love that. Do we want that? That's the glory you want? That's not really the glory. Even that's not the glory. The glory is Christ to be formed in me. Do I want validation from the elders? Do I want validation from godly men of God? No. That's not the validation I need. I need Christ in me. You can be doing your job where you're not having a public ministry like this. We've said this over and over again. But you can have Christ in you. And that's what Paul's hope for glory was too. You can align yourself with the Bible and with Paul. If you say, God, my only goal is for Christ to be formed in me. And John the Apostle also said the same thing. In 1 John chapter 3 verse 2 and 3. Again, we talked about heaven. We talked about what you can't leave behind when you take with you. There are a lot of things we do not know about what heaven is going to be like. But John tells me one thing that we can be absolutely sure that what's going to happen when Jesus comes back. 1 John chapter 3 verse 2 and 3, it says, Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet appeared as yet what we will be. But we know that when He appears, when Jesus appears, what will happen? We will be like Him. Because we will see Him just as He is. We will be like Him. If Christ is fully formed in me, we will be like Christ. Okay? Verse 3 is the key then. And everyone who has this hope. Everyone who has this hope fixed on Him. On what? On being like Him. Purifies himself. And we can talk about purifies himself just as he is pure later on. That's the obvious result of what happens. But my point was more the first part of chapter 3 verse 3, which is, do you have this as your hope? And again, I'm not trying to tell you that it is or it isn't. You're probably going to be very easily convinced, because I've shown you scripture, that should be your hope. My question is it? Very simple, is it? If it isn't, what are you going to do about it? Do you see that this is something that's most fundamentally needing to be different today, tomorrow, the day after, 10 years from now, 50 years from now, till the day you die? It starts today, where you have to determine in your mind, I am a Christian, and because I'm a Christian, this is my goal. That I want to be conformed to the image of Jesus. And I haven't written that verse down, but Romans 8:29 is another verse that's in your book here that says that same thing, that He predestined me. He predestined me to be conformed to the image of His firstborn Son, which is Jesus. That's what God set as the destination. That's what predestined means. He set as the destination, one day, Sandeep, I hope, when I've created you most beautifully in your mother's womb, and I put you on this earth, I wanted you to have a goal that you would one day be fully conformed to the image of Jesus. That's exactly what I'm saying. That's exactly what Paul says in Romans. That's what Paul says in Colossians 1:27. And that's what John says. He's saying the same thing. The goal of the Christian, the hope of the Christian, is to be fully conformed to the image of Jesus. If you don't have this goal, I don't know where to tell you to go. I don't think you need to go anywhere else except to start with this and make it a life goal. And it's easy to make a decision today. It really is. Because these verses are so convincing. I've heard these verses many times, but I don't know what we need to do. I don't know what I need to do to get you to wrap your life around it. That if I were to wake you up at 2 in the morning, 9 months from now, when I call you, if I were to call you and say, what's your goal? If you were to tell me something, I am working hard. I fixed my goal on being like Jesus. I have been doing that the last 9 months. You convinced me back on December 19th. And to be honest now, September 19th, I'm still convinced. And I've made progress. Because I made that my single-minded goal. Is it the approval of man? No. Is it the criticism of man? No. Is it my idea of what my ministry should look like 2 years from now? No. Is it what my children should be acting like when they're 8 years old, 10 years old, whatever? No. Is it that I should have this much money in my bank account? No. What is your goal, Sandeep? My goal is that I could be conformed to the image of Jesus. And He showed me the sin that I need to work on. He showed me that sin I needed to work on. And He showed me that unforgiving attitude that I needed to work on. And He's showing me these different things that I need to do to be conformed to the image of Jesus. And I'm making progress. Why? Because I'm getting back up every day. And I say, God, this is my goal. Conformity to the image of Jesus. And this besetting sin is standing in the way. I'm not going to reach my goal if I keep going this way. Something needs to give. I'm not going to give up because that's my goal. My goal is not to just manage. My goal is to be conformed to the image of Jesus. And I don't care if it takes 20 years before this sin is done, but I'm going to keep getting up. When this becomes your ultimate goal, a lot of things will change. A lot of the decisions that you make. If you wanted to be a world-class athlete, I guarantee you, your food habits will change. You may ask, how much butter was put in this? I don't think I can have that. I was talking to Ajay the other day. You know, he's a 17-year-old guy who's 17, right? I think he's running 100 meters, 200 meters. He said, I didn't know I could run, and just started in 9th standard, started running, and I mean, I think he won a lot of medals, 100, 200, 400, just 9th standard. I said, what did you start doing in 9th standard? He said, you know, I started running and I started taking this drink. This is apparently some drink he drinks that, I hope it's legal. No, I think I have to, it is legal. It's some kind of, he said the word, I can't remember now, some kind of malt drink. He's been taking it 2 glasses every day. Man, I said, did it make a difference? He's like, yeah, made a difference. Do you see how he changed his habit? Because his goal was to win gold medals. 100 meter gold medals is my goal, so I'm going to have to start drinking malt. Tastes good? Doesn't really matter. I don't care if it tastes good. I want to win 100 meters gold. It became easy for him to drink the malt because 100 meters gold was what his goal was. If your goal is becoming like Jesus, if your goal is being conformed to the image of Jesus in your attitude towards sin, you will start taking sin more seriously. And if you don't take sin seriously, it's because you probably not made that as your goal. And so when you don't take it seriously, you say, man, I forgot. This is my goal. I got to be taking sin seriously. And we know there's lots of forgiveness and there's lots of grace in God, so we don't beat ourselves up. We get back up, but we keep reminding ourselves of our goal. And every time we come to church on Wednesday and Sundays, we remind one another. That's what fellowship is. Guys, are we still on our goal? Sisters, are we still on our goal? But I got this new really cool outfit. Good. I'm really happy you got. I'm stoked that you got this new outfit. I hope it's not messing you up with your goal though. I got this really cool job. Okay, good. I'm happy for you. Let's go celebrate. But I hope it's not going to mess up your goal to be like Jesus. I hope our sisters and brothers can kind of fellowship with that and remind ourselves that this is our goal. We rejoice when other people rejoice. So definitely don't come up with them with a stick and say, oh, you shouldn't have gotten that good job. Rejoice with them. Celebrate with them that they got a good job. But be people who are really caring for one another towards that main goal. Find other brothers and sisters who have that as their goal. Not keeping up with the latest fashion is their goal. You can be fashionable if you want. That's all. As long as you don't distract from that as being your main goal. That's up to you and God. You decide where that line has to be drawn. What outfits you can wear, what outfits you can't wear. But that, let that be that goal. God, I do not want to sin against you. I don't want to sin in a way that Jesus would not have sinned. So if that means I can't wear that outfit, that means I can't wear that outfit. If that means I can't spend my money that way, that means I can't spend my money that way. Because conformity with Jesus is my goal. It's my hope. It's such a simple message that I'm speaking. I hope none of you have been lost. I've tried to make it as simple as possible. But I fear that most of us who are kind of meandering through our Christian life and not walking with purpose, serving the purposes of God, is because we've not had that purpose of that hope and longing that God has set up for all of us. And as we start being conformed to the image of Jesus as being as our goal, God will start bringing out the gifts which are very unique to each one of us. But we should keep this as our main goal, as our main hope. Christ in me. Colossians 1:27. Christ in me. God, come in me. Please be revealed in me. Faith. If faith is dependence on God, if faith is leaning back on God, our hope is symbolized, our hope is reflected by a devotion to God. He who has this hope fixed on Him is reflected in a devotion. A devotee of Hare Krishna will shave their head, they'll wear a certain kind of outfit, they'll do anything their guru tells them. Because they're a devotee. Are you a devotee of Jesus? You will be if you have that as your hope. The student in the ashram wants to be like the guru. So he'll do everything. He'll even start copying the way that guy dresses and the way he laughs and the way he eats his food. He'll copy everything about it because he wants to be like the guru. Have you looked at that kind of devotion to Jesus as your goal? Devoted, God, fixed on you. I'm not going to be moved by anything else. And if I get moved, I'm going to come right back. God, that somebody said that about me. Now I'm all discouraged. What's your goal? His approval or Christ in me? God will give you plenty of opportunities for Christ to be formed in you at the expense of approval of men, at the expense of criticism of men, all so that you can be conformed to the image of Jesus. So that it doesn't matter how God made you or how you look or how you what your physical abilities are or what your intellectual abilities are. It doesn't matter because the Christian goal is Christ to be formed in you. It's nothing about a kind of job. It's nothing about a kind of marital status. It's nothing about the number of children. It's about Christ being formed in you. These are questions that I want you to write down yourself. I want you to journal. The best use of a journal is if you will be as honest as possible. So if you find somebody else's journal, please don't open it. This is not for other people to read. This is for you. But I want you to write down your answer to these questions as best as you can. Robbie, what time does this end? Another 15 minutes. Great. Let's spend the next 15 minutes with these questions. This was similar to the question I asked you very early in the beginning. What is the hope that I have? Can I honestly say, and this is where I really need you to be honest. If you were to review your life and you were to think, God, can I say that in 2009, this was really my underlying goal behind every decision that I made and every the overall choice. Not that it was, okay, what food should I eat? I'm not talking about it at the micro level, at the detail level. I'm talking about overall. Was this a constant presence in your mind? Did you check in every day with God? God, this is my hope. How am I doing with this hope, with this goal? God, are you satisfying me with this hope? For me, I can tell you, for many years it wasn't, even as a Christian, I never had that understanding that this is where it all began with my hope, was that this is what it meant to be devoted to Christ, was to set my goal single-mindedly to that. I also want you to be contemplative a little bit. Why do you think, what are the instigators? Why do you think you have these other hopes? Is it because that's what the world tells you? Is it what your peer group tells you? Is this what your older brother is doing? Is it what your older sister is doing? So you're trying to copy your older brother? Is this what your dad or mom tell you you need to be like? Where does this other hope come from? What are you going to do about it? The easy answer is to say, I'm going to have the hope of God. Okay, that's as simple as you need to do to make it work. That's as simple as you need to do. But what are you going to do to make this other hope be gone and this new hope, which is Christ be formed in me, to stick? To stick. Not for a year, not for 2 years, for the rest of your life. I'm giving you life goal here. So try and write down the best you can the answer to these questions. You don't have to write the question so much as I want you to write down, what is your hope that you've had? And think about writing down. Make it a prayer maybe at the end of the day. What are you going to do about the hope? Maybe make it a prayer. Dear Jesus, this has been my hope so far. This is the reason I see now why I have not had the happiness and joy that you promised me in the Bible. I see now what my hope needs to be. I see that my hope needs to be all about you and me. That's it. Nobody else. Just you and me, bridegroom and bride, and me being conformed to being like you. And this is what I'm going to do to remind myself of this hope. I'm going to put it in the bathroom window. I'm going to put a little sign on the bathroom window. The bathroom mirror, sorry. Every time I walk into the bathroom and I brush my teeth, the beginning of the day and the end of the day, I'm going to see this as my life goal. Is that what you're going to have to do? Do it. If you put it on your computer screen, whenever you own on your laptop, do that. But make it your goal. Stop getting distracted by other goals. Do whatever you got to do. Be practical. Do this in contemplation. It'll only work if you own it. I've tried to do the best I can to share with you what my hope has been changed to become. Now you have to own it. And that's what the next 10, 15 minutes ought to be about. Why don't you guys all look here? Look, I'll tell you something. If you make this your goal, you'll find that if it's like it's happened for me, you'll find that you will lose a lot of the insecurities of what the opinion of other people matter to you. Believe me, it's helped with me. If you make this your goal, the opinions of other people will not matter as much, and especially the insecurity that comes with it. Only the opinion of God will matter to you, because He is the only one who can tell you how you're doing compared to Christ. And He's a loving God, so He'll be gracious and merciful to you, but He will correct you. He will discipline you. You will feel the discipline of God, and you'll feel the embrace of God. You're not getting off lightly when you go only to God, but you're going to a loving Heavenly Father who treats you like a father should treat their child, with such love and grace and discipline. He will correct you. So it's not an easy life. He'll make it tough on you, but you'll go and be getting correction from the Father, and you'll be free from the insecurity of the opinions of other people. And He'll give you a purpose for tomorrow. He'll give you a purpose for Monday and Tuesday and next week and next month, and on and on. I don't have to look very far when I wake up in the morning to know what my purpose is. I have set my mind fixed on Him. So whenever I get lost, and I sometimes wake up in the morning, I'm just in a bad mood. I don't know why that is. Maybe it's because I ate the wrong food. Maybe I had a bad dream. I just wake up upset. What do? Do I just live with that upset all day long? No. I fix my goal. God, today, let's renew my thoughts. My goal is to be like you. So let me take a shower, and that bad mood's going with the shower. That's gone. And I get out of the shower, I better be in a good mood. Because I want to be like you. There's lots of work to be doing. There's no reason to be in a bad mood. I had a bad dream, for crying out. That's the only reason I'm in a bad mood. Get over it. I got a purpose. Every day I'll just check back in with that purpose. It'll make it easier to say no to sin. It'll be easier to say no to those things that drag you down, because you've got a goal. and it'll make fellowship with other believers, hungry, such goal-oriented believers, the most enjoyable thing. Because you realize that they share your goal and they give you tips and they are fellow pilgrims to run with you in this journey. That's what it is to love the brotherhood. That's what it means to love fellowship. Because you have this as your only goal in life and you start to see how hard it is. And you come to this place called church. And church is a place where you find maybe not everybody, but two or three or four or five brothers and sisters who have that same hope. And you long to hang out with them. And that's why you long to spend time with the elders or these people, as I talked about last night, who love Jesus. Because that's your goal. It's not some big habit that I'm trying to communicate to you. It's your goal to be like Jesus. Go and find the person who looks like more like Jesus and hang out with them. They'll teach you what to do. It's that simple. It's 2 plus 2. Make it your goal. I long to see a group of people who are so free of the opinions of man, because not because they're just living a life whatever they want. No, because they are submitted to God. And God's giving them purpose. And God is giving them value. Because their value is God. I want to see Christ form more and more in me. Forget the rest. Forget ministry. Forget every metric that the world or the Christian world puts on me. It's just you and me, God. How am I doing with that? And you'll accept His correction. Hard as it may be, you'll accept His correction because that's the goal the Father has. And you'll accept His embrace because that's the goal the Father has to draw you to be more like Christ. I really hope that a year from now, that hope will have stuck. I know maybe a lot of you may come after the session and if I would ask you, you'd say, yeah, that's my hope. I really hope you will just take 2010 and make that your hope. Not your one of many hopes. Your hope. The only hope. Can you rejoice always? Very easy. Very easy. Because always there's a chance to be more like Christ. The Christian Bible will make so much more sense when you make this your hope. God, I have no other desire. This, we sang that song, how appropriate it was. This is my desire to honor you. This is my desire, Christ, for you to be formed in me. Take this vessel full of my own stupid ideas and start cleaning out one after the other. He can do that work in you. And the good news is you've got a few years left to get there. Hopefully He won't take us. I wake up as often as I remember, I tell God, God, please don't take me just yet because I want to get a little closer to that goal. Not because I want to make more money or I want to have a nicer house. No, I want to get to that goal to be like you. And I'm far away. Give me a few more years, God, that I might reach that goal. Let's bow our heads in prayer as we close. A journey of whatever distance starts with the first step. A million miles, I don't care what number of miles it is, starts with the first step. This journal, what you've done today, hopefully symbolizes and represents that first step. The emotions may be raw, you may be feeling very tender, but just remember, it's the first step. I don't want to discount it, but I don't want to blow it up into something greater than it is. It's the first step. Let's recognize this first step as being a beautiful step and a beautiful journey where we're going to be focused on being like Christ. But we know how often we slip. We must make some tough decisions. We must make some strategic decisions. We must make some very smart decisions of how we're going to stay with that goal. For 1 week, 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, 10 years, 50 years. I don't know what it is for you. I don't know what habit you need to look at in a different light. I don't know what friendship you need to reevaluate. I don't know what dream you've had that you need to lay on the altar. I don't know what it is. But there's only place for one hope in your life from now on. Only place for one hope. if you read your Bible correctly. It's a hope to be like Christ. Every other hope must disappear. Father, we come as people who want to love you so much. We know how much you loved us. We see how we may have made an error in our ways by having these other hopes along with being like you. Or maybe we never made being like you our hope. Father, we're sorry. We really are. We want to be like you. This is our desire. This won't happen tomorrow. This won't happen next year. It's a lifelong hope. But you're with us. You're our example. We have a Father, and you've given us your Holy Spirit. We don't need anything more. Lord, we want to really lay on the altar the opinions of man. We want to lay on the altar all these expectations that my family put on me. That my dad has dreams for me to do this or that. I want to put it on the altar. This dream that I made up because my peers are doing it. I want to put it on the altar. I want only one hope left, Lord, on this altar. From now on till the day I die, that I will be like you. I want to be devoted to you and this goal. Please help me, Lord. Help us to see you bigger than we've ever seen you before. That we will truly be devoted to you. That we will fix our eyes on you. Please do this work in us, Lord. Give us much hope and encouragement as we pursue this hope and our goal of our lives. You are the best hope we can have. You really are. You give us more everlasting joy than any of our sins. Any of our sins of lust or self-pity or discouragement or eating too much or whatever it is. They don't sustain me like you do. So Father, I want to give them up. My only hope wants to be that I will be like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.